Well, there's a huge party going on right now on Detroit's riverfront. It's the 200th anniversary of the War of 1812. Great Britain and the new United States of America slugging it out over trade and over that nasty British habit of grabbing American sailors and forcing them to serve King George. Yes, that same King George, the one we beat in the Revolutionary War. All week long, running until next Monday, it's the War of 1812 Bicentennial, and it's Navy Week with events happening all over Southeast Michigan. More on that in a bit. First, let's brush up on our history as we're joined by historian Jim McConnell. Jim, it strikes me the War of 1812 might be just a wee bit overlooked by a lot of us. Does it lose out a little to the Revolutionary War or the Civil War?
Well, the one good thing about the War of 1812 is that everybody knows when it started, because nobody knows when the Civil War started. Secondly, it was very important to Michigan because the first major battles of the War of 1812 were fought around Detroit and around Mackinac Island.
Give us some of the names of these battles, Jim.
The Battle of Mackinac Island was fought on July the 17th, 1812, and it really wasn't a battle. The British caught the fort by surprise, and the fort surrendered without firing a shot. August the 5th was the Battle of Brownstown, which is just south in the Downriver area, and that was a British victory. Americans trying to get supplies up to Detroit were defeated, and then 4 days later they tried again on August the 9th at the Battle of Monkwagon, which is the old Indian name for Wyandotte. The battle was fought kind of south of Wyandotte all the way down to Trenton. And then certainly on August the 16th, 1812, the fall of Detroit was a shock to President Madison and to all the rest of the people across the country. It certainly broke the spirit of the Americans at the start of the war.
Jim, fill us in a little bit more. What was the root cause of the war? We've been through the Revolutionary War. Goodbye, England. Goodbye, King George. We are now, the United States of America. So why was it a few short years later we're back at war with them?
I tend to blame it on Napoleon Bonaparte because he's a very highly recognizable name in world history. Bonaparte had taken control of France and was involved in an ongoing war with England. Neither France nor England wanted the United States to carry on trade with their enemy. And so they both began to interfere with American trade. But the British, having a bigger navy, were interfering more effectively than were the French. So we began to view the British as our enemy because they were limiting our trade with the European continent, in particular with France. In addition, we really believed that the British were still trying to control the fur trade up in the old Northwest, including Michigan, by providing supplies to the Native Americans, who would then stir up trouble against the American settlers. And so for those reasons, we thought we should declare war. And President Madison sent a message to Congress on June the 1st, 1812, and within 3 weeks, Congress, in a fairly close vote, declared war against Great Britain. Mm-hmm. It was the first time in American history that Congress had voted to declare war.
As this war went on, how long did it, you said it went on starting, of course, in 1812 and went for?
Really a little bit over 2.5 years. The fighting in 1813, after we won the Battle of Lake Erie, we defeated the British army that was over at Amherstburg and that had been occupying Detroit. We defeated them at the Battle of Moraviantown in October 1813. They fell back to the Niagara region, and the fighting continued in that area in 1813, 1814. Then it went over to the East Coast in 1813, 14, and 15. And, of course, the most famous things to come out of the war were the national anthem, which was inspired by the British attack on Fort McHenry near Baltimore.
Yes.
And the flag was seen by Francis Scott Key. The flag was made at the direction of the commander of the fort, a guy by the name of George Armistead. And Armistead did indeed want a flag that was big enough for the British to see. And the next morning on September the 14th, the flag was indeed there. And it inspired Francis Scott Key. And it was after that the British defeated Napoleon. They were tired of fighting the United States. So they began to look for peace talks, and so they finally met in Ghent, in modern-day Belgium. And on December the 24th, 1814, they agreed to a treaty of peace.
You know, you stop and think about what the stories you're telling us, Jim McConnell, and you think that here we were 200 years ago trading musket fire and cannonballs with the English. And over this past summer, there we all were celebrating the Queen and besotted with William and Kate and the London Olympics. And does that kind of tickle your historical funny bone?
Oh, I think it's very appropriate because, indeed, after the War of 1812, the peace pretty much stabilized relations between the U.S. and Canada. There were continuing conflicts. So anybody that says there was never another conflict between the United States and Canada isn't speaking truthfully. In 1838, there was a rebellion in Canada, and there were actually casualties of Americans crossing over to help the rebels fight against the Canadian government. I also like to say that the really big issue, though, was the control, not of the fur trade, but of the fudge trade. And so today, Mackinac is, of course, noted for its fudge.
It is indeed. And I think it's safe to say the major conflicts between Detroit and Canada might be when Montreal comes to play the Red Wings at the Joe Louis Arena.
That's probably true.
And Jim, I want to quickly mention the documentary that the Michigan War of 1812 Bicentennial Commission produced. It's called Michigan at War, The Struggle for the Old Northwest, 1812 to 1815. And it's going to air this coming Monday evening on Detroit Public Television. Jim McConnell, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your time.